to be a light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these girls that go, who are willing to spend their time and give themselves to go to the jails to get somebody born again. Thank you, Lord, for these men and women who go to the nursing homes, who spend what little time it takes. But Lord, it takes out of their life. It's dedication. And they go, and they're a blessing to those elderly people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these people. Thank you, Lord, for these people who work with the kids, take the kids to, you know, to visit the nursing homes. They'll be going to sing carols to some of the people. They went last night. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord. If I was in jail, I'd want somebody to come to me. If I was in the hospital, I'd want somebody to come to me. If I was sick, nursing home, had nobody to visit me, I'd want somebody to visit me. Thank you, Lord, for people who care. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless them real good. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for the effort. Jesus said, I was in jail. You came to see me. Said, I was in the hospital and you came and visited me. I was sick. I was hungry and you fed me. And they said, when, Lord, was you ever sick? And when was you in jail? And when was you in the hospital? And when was you hungry? And he said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now he said, enter in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen? Wow. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad of that. Mike and Pam's taking the senior citizens Monday. Is it Monday? Yeah, Monday. And they're going to take them and eat and buying their food. Don't eat much. Going to take you to McDonald's and give you $5 and you eat till you bust. You can't beat McDonald's, can you? You can go to a restaurant cheaper than you eat McDonald's about anymore. But you get to go eat somewhere good, and we're going to buy you. And going over to Billy Graham's place. They enjoyed that. How many you got going? 23. Hallelujah. We rented another van today. We'll pick it up Monday. Julie had an accident with her other one. And we're proud of her. She had a good accident. Tore it all to pieces. They totaled it. And so we had to rent another one. Small van, so some of them get up in it. But we got one. God works it out. At least nobody got hurt. You can get another van. You know, that's a material stuff, just this other stuff we have to worry about. You know, our bodies, not worry, but we have to take care of that, and that's taken care of. Let, you know, the rest of it work out, won't it? So, praise the Lord. I don't know, did she get a ticket? Is that the same thing as a ticket? That's a ticket. Yeah, it just sounds better. That's politically correct for a ticket. Citation. I'm giving you a little citation here. Yeah, I'll give her an award here. It won't cost you much. Go up and, you know. Praise the Lord. Look with me in Luke chapter 16. I was just thinking about what we was talking about there. Luke 16. It's a good Good scripture. Praise the Lord. Everything works out, don't it? Hallelujah. I've been looking at every time I go up Michigan, drive up there, I start looking for these vans, what do you call them? Conversion vans. I've been looking at them. Believe God, get one that I can ride in. Something nice, go to Michigan where I can sit back there and rest and watch TV and be like Norm. Really, I've got a driver. I take Andrew or Josh and they drive for me. So, and Kathy, she drives. I don't drive. I sit there. But I need something, you know, nicer seats. And do you believe with me? Get one nice one. I think we can. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. And we'll get one. I can use it. You look at it. Hallelujah. I don't fly. I'd rather drive. Just fool the airports. Last time I flew up there, it took me exactly the same time it did to drive it. I know it's crazy. That's what I thought. That's crazy. Of course, that's not every time. You just layovers and plane, you know. So, and you have to deal with the airports and the people and the luggage. And so I'd rather take my time and drive. And had a nice, real nice. We take that big van. I mean, it's all right, but you sit in the back, it's not. Not for 11 hours. You get me a van?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Who's going to help her? She's going to need help.
A lot
of help. Luke 16. And he also said to his disciples, verse 1. Is that where you're at? There was a certain rich man who had a fellow at work for him, steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. It's talking about money. What we're talking about here, money. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer work for me. You're wasting my money. You're not a good employee." This man was over his business, running his business for him. And the word came back to him, "Listen, this guy is just wasting your money. He's stealing from you, spending all this, wasting it." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking my job or my stewardship, or I'm going to get fired. I am getting fired. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." Now, that I won't work. That's what it says. I won't work, and I'm ashamed to stand at the intersection with a sign. That's what that is. "I have resolved what to do." I figured this out. "That when I am put out of the stewardship or lose my job, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors, people who owed his boss money, and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measure of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and pay me 50. Now he was using the man's money. It wasn't his money. It didn't owe him anything. And the man had trusted him to run the business, and the man who owned the business or his boss really didn't know all the dealings or what he was doing. He just trusted him to run the business and make money. And so he was, you know, he was a good businessman, but he was crooked. You know, that happens. And so he was crooked. So he said, well, sit down there and just pay me half of what you owe me. Then he said to the other, and how much do you owe me? And he said, 100 measure of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For he had dealt shrewdly. Well, he'd got some money back. I'm not sure he told him everything he did. He just brought in some money here that he'd lost. Didn't know how much he had out or whatever, but he brought in some money. And he said, because he had dealt shrewdly. Now notice, for the sons of this world are better businessmen in their generation than the sons of light. You understand what that said? The people of the world are more shrewd than the sons of the kingdom. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. Make friends for yourself with money. Unrighteous mammon, you understand what that's talking about? Money. Make friends with yourself with unrighteous mammon or money. And when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Does that make any sense to you? He who is faithful in what is at least, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, but he who is unjust and what is least is unjust also in much. Talking here about your character now. Now, what's he talking about up here? Well, let's read them. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust true riches? Now, this is Jesus talking. Jesus. Now, this certain man was a real man. And this businessman was a real businessman. He's losing his job, and he's getting fired. So he went out real fast and made some money for his boss man. And his boss man came in going to fire him. Here he had all this money that he had lost. These people hadn't paid him back, wasn't going to pay him back. Didn't have much intentions of paying back or couldn't pay him back. So he went and acted very shrewdly, and he said, how much do you owe? It's better to get half than none. See, he's a good businessman. He's crooked. And he said, now, if I go with these people and do them right, do them a good deal, when I get fired, they'll say, hey, you really helped me out. You saved me a lot of money. I owed $10,000 to that guy, and you forgave me a $5,000, let me pay by. You saved me some money, you know. And he'll say, well, I need a favor. That's what he's saying. When I get fired, they'll receive me into their house. Isn't that what he said? Then the other guy, he said, how much you? 100 to measure. And he said, well, give me 80. And he forgave him a 20. Now, his boss man, the man that owned the company and his money, he wasn't getting any credit for anything. He would just get the little money that he had lost, didn't know he had anyway. The guy had been crooked, and he didn't know what he was doing with it or how he was doing it. But he brought him some money in, and he said, well, you're shrewd. You got me some money back that I wasn't planning on getting. I didn't think those people ever paid me back. He said, well, at least I got you some. So his boss man was pleased with him, and the people that wasn't going to pay it, he got a little money, they was pleased with him. And he said, now if I get fired, I'll need a favor. And his boss man said, hey, you did a good job. You're shrewd. You're crooked. Can't trust you. But you're very shrewd. Then he compared that to people in the kingdom. He said, now that guy knew how to get what he had lost. He knew how to work money. Now, Jesus is not telling us here to be crooked. He's not telling us to be like that guy. He's just saying that guy knew how to do business. That guy was a good businessman. He knew how to get what was lost back. And he knew how to make some money. He was a good businessman in the world. He knew how to work with unrighteous. Now notice he called it unrighteous or dirty money. And he said, the people of the world are better business people in their realm than my people are in the kingdom. Amen? Now, he's not telling us to be crooked or cheat people. He's telling us to be good business people. He's telling us to be shrewd. He's telling us to be to think, how can we make the Lord some money? How can we get something for the kingdom? See, we're working for Him. We're not working for ourselves. We're working for Him. And we're not to be crooked, we're to work it right, but we're business people in the kingdom, all of us. How can I turn a profit for God? For Jesus. Remember the fellow with the talents? One talent, all the way to five talents. He gave them five, and all of them went out and made something except the guy that had one. And he came back and he said, where's my return? He said, oh, I'd heard about you that you was a hard man. He said, you heard right. I heard that you was a tough businessman. Jesus said, you're right. I expected a return off of what I gave you. And he said, well, I knew that you were a pretty tough businessman. So, and I was kind of afraid to lose what you gave me. So I took it and just buried it in the ground. And when you came back, I just gave it back to you because I didn't want to lose what I had. Jesus said, if you read in the Living Bible, you wicked, slothful, good-for-nothing, lazy bum. That's what Jesus said to him. You lazy, slothful, worthless. I forget all the things that went through there. Hold your place there, we'll look at it. I guess we're not afraid to. But that's not us. We can look at it all day. Isn't that right? That is not us. Say that. That's not me. That's not me. And it says in verse 14, 25th chapter of Matthew. Oh, I didn't tell you where to go to. 25th chapter Matthew, verse 14, and the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. Here we are, another man. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, another one, each one according to his own ability. Now that's what you have to remember about the Lord. He gave us according to our ability. Some people just has more ability than others. A whole lot of people got a lot more ability than I do. But thank God He gave me one talent. At least He gave me something. Amen. When I started, I had nothing. I mean nothing. No money. No, I couldn't sing, couldn't dance. I couldn't play an instrument. No talents. I'm a good businessman. Not in, no talents. He gave me one. I could stand up and maybe talk a little. Very little. But I've used everything He gave me to the best of my ability, 100%, as much as I can, and I pushed it with everything I had. I took what little bit of money I had, quarters and 50 cents is nothing, and I turned it into at least something. No place to live, nothing to drive, and no clothes to wear when I started preaching. I didn't even have a tie. I preached 3 times before I ever had a tie to wear. Didn't have one, didn't have a suit. And I kept preaching, and somebody felt sorry for me and bought me a suit from Sears and Rareback. And I wore that thing out, gray suit. I was proud of that suit. I preached everywhere I could find a place, asked to preach, drove thousands of miles, borrowed cars, gas, and went, borrowed money to go, used all my money, effort, going to meetings, sleeping in the back of trucks and tents and going to meetings, couldn't afford a motel room, but go anyway, everything I could to do everything I could to increase what I had. And I think I've got at least 2 or 3 talents now. I don't have to stay in back of trucks or tents no more. I can stay anywhere I want to stay in any motel I want to stay in. Don't have to drive an old raggedy beat up car that I'm afraid to go out of town in. I used to go to meetings, I'd borrow a car off of Sam. I didn't have nothing to go to a meeting in. Believe God, for enough money to get there and have to believe God for, give everything I had. But I used what I had. As much as I had, I've used it and I've used it and I've used it and I've used it. I was reading a prophecy back there today that I'd got. It said that I'd used the one talent I had and He is going to give me some more. And said, I'm going to take that talent that that person's not using and I'm going to give it to you because you will use it. I guarantee I'll use it. I guarantee I will. And I'll use it in church. You say, well, the reason you go to church and use it in church is because you're a pastor. Maybe that's the reason I'm a pastor. Because He knew I'd do it. He knew I'd go to church. And I wouldn't miss any. And I'd do everything that you could do in church. I asked the Lord, I said, I don't want to be a preacher. Just let me work. I'll be the best worker in the church. I'll be the best usher. I'll park cars. I've done it all. Clean by. I've done everything you can do in church. A lot of time I didn't have anything to give in church, I'd go ask the pastor, what do you need done around? You need anything painted? I need some work. And he'd say, yeah, come in and you paint this. I'd paint. If you go out to Candler House of Prayer, You all the bushes out there and used to and things, and I did all that. I sold all the grass seed. I did everything. I kept it looking good, and I was there. Set out all the trees. I painted the room, and I'd go get paid, and I'd give him a bill. I'd say, this is how much it is, how much I charge you an hour, and I'm giving that. That's my seed. There's ways of getting seed. If people get off their lazy place they sit, and I get so frustrated sometimes. This job, I love it. I do it for Jesus' day. I fall over dead. But I get so frustrated at Christians sometimes, I could just go home. I get so frustrated that our kids, some grew up in this church sometime. I could just go home. Now, hear the music they're listening to and what they're doing. See them laying out of church. See the parents saying, it's okay to lay out of church. It's okay to play sports and lay out of church. It's fine. Well, I'll tell you one thing, parent. One day it'll haunt you. It'll come back on you. You taught them that. Don't gripe when they don't go to church. Because you taught them they didn't have to. Amen. Got that out anyway. See, I'm passionate for Jesus. I think that's the only thing kids need. I don't think they need anything else. I think it's Jesus all they need. This other stuff blow away. It'll all leave. But somehow or another, they go to church and sit in church, they don't get it. I get frustrated at Christians. Not you, you're here. You. I'm not talking about you. Can't be, because you're faithful. You're here every time the door's open. Other people, they could care less, really. I'm serious. They could care less about the things of God. Well, that's why there's a judgment day. Don't ever think that they'll get the same thing you get. Don't you ever think for 1 minute. No way. One day, 1,000 years from today, I'll say, tried to tell you that. I wish I'd have listened, Pastor. I tried to tell you. Praise the Lord. I better get off of that. Huh? Turn my glasses upside down. And he gave one 5. Then he who received the 5 went out and traded it, look, and made 5 more. Hey, that's good business, man. Notice what he did with it. He traded it. He used it. He took $100 or took $500 and made $500. Now, who was he working for? Jesus. He said, here, I'm going to give you this talent. And if you look that up, it's talking about money. And the one talent was 129,085, I think. Something like, I wrote that in here. I can't read what I wrote. 429,085.50. Something like that. Anyway, it's a lot of money. And he gave it to him. And he went out, and in other words, he doubled it. So, likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2. But he received 1, went and dug it in a hole in the ground and hid the money, hid the Lord's money. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact he just had 1. It's just the fact it's what he do. Notice what mentality he had. He had a maintenance mentality. Just to maintain. Well, we don't want to risk anything. We don't want to risk. We can't give our money away and risk, you know, the Lord returning it. We can't. Let's just sit on it. Let's just put it in the bank. Let's just don't use it. Let's just, you know. And that's what kind of mentality he had. He could have done something. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled the account with them. Settled the account. Now notice he said here in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You're living in the kingdom. This is what the kingdom you're living in is like. It's what it's like. I don't know what he gave you. Can you sing? Sing. I tell preachers, if you don't develop your preaching ministry, it won't ever develop. I told where I went to church, you know, I went to pastor one time, an associate there, and I said, you know, I've had prophecies in this one tell me that I was in the prophet's ministry. I need to develop, know how to develop that. I need to know what to do. Ah, you don't have to develop that. If you're a prophet, it'll just work. Well, don't ever ask anybody don't know any more than you. They didn't know anything about it. I found that out real fast. You don't know anything. You're the pastor. I about could ask you about pastoring. You could tell me if it's flat fact. You just didn't know nothing about prophets. Oh, it'll just work you. But I found out. Now, somehow not alert, Lord, this, you know. So I searched and found a prophet. I said, I got to know Bill Hammond. The only problem with that, he was in Point Washington, Florida. 12 hours south. That's always hooking up with somebody that's 12 hours. At least he was south. Mark Barclay's north. Lord Jesus. But both of them prophets. So I hooked up with Dr. Hammond, hung around him, and I'd go down there. I went down there, I think, to about 30 conventions. Cost me $1,000, $1,200 every time I went. I was making $6 an hour. And Kathy was waiting tables, no car to drive, no money. You go 30 times at $1,000, $1,200 a whack, miss a week's work and all that, and you go do it. Well, I can't afford all that. I can't do that. Well, just sit on your duff. I might have did a lot of things wrong, missed it, but when I stand before the Lord, there's one thing he can't say. You didn't try. I at least gave it my best shot, Lord. Did all I could do, learn all I can for what I've got. And I think sometimes, Lord, did I have to do all that? I could have pastored a little old church, not having to spend all the money and go everywhere I went and do everything I've done, you know. But it's all right. I didn't do it for me. Thank God. I had one talent. And he took and dug a hole, buried it. And the Lord came back to settle up. So he received the five talents and came and another guy brought him five more talents and said, Lord, you delivered me these five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside without being told to. Now, you can't find here where the Lord said, now you need, he gave. And to one he gave five talents, each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey. He just gave them the talents. He didn't tell them to double it. He didn't tell them anything. He gave them the talents. He expected them to be good businessmen or shrewd enough to know. He gave me this for a reason. Look, Lord, I have gained five more talents, and I wrote in my Bible there, without being told to. We're always sitting around waiting for somebody to tell us to. Why nobody told me to do that? Why nobody told me to clean the bathroom? Nobody told me to empty the trash. Nobody told me to pick that paper wad up. Nobody told me to turn the lights out. Nobody told me to watch the parking lot. Nobody didn't tell me. Well, I think sometime if you're going to work for the Lord, you ought to have sense enough to figure some things out. Well, nobody told me. Looks like if a pastor wants me to do something, he'll tell. Well, just look around, see if you see anything needs done. Well, nobody told me. I just go in here and sit down. Nobody tells me to worship. Nobody didn't tell me to sing. Nobody didn't tell me. This guy doubled it. Nobody told him to. That's pretty good, you ask me. Say, that's not me. Did you say that? You had to think about it? I said, say, that's not me. Nobody said it. That you sit down without anybody telling you to. Sitting on your duh. Oh, what? Well, I don't know. If you don't know which part you're on, forget it. So he received. His Lord said to him, well done. Not half done. Not medium rare. You're a good servant. And you're there you go. You're a good, faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. Say, that's me. There you go. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. I will make you ruler over many things. He also had the two talents. Came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides without being told to. Now, these guys hadn't talked to each other. But notice both of them doubled. He also, and his Lord said to him, well done, good, faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. Now that's talking to Jesus. Reaping where you have not sown. No, that's your job. I want to reap where you've sown. Jesus wants to reap in my field, this church. You know the Lord, he gives you, like me in the ministry, you may have a business, whatever he's given you to do, talents, you know, whatever. Mine happened to be pastor. I can make this church anything I want to make it. I can make this a New Age church. I can make it a tree-hugging church. I can make it any kind of church I want to make it. Or I can make it what he wants it to be. But I have found out what he wants. It's my field. This is my field. And the Bible says that I will be the first partaker from my field. And the Bible says my field will feed me. My field will prosper me. My field will take care of me. And the Lord will reap from my field. Do you understand what that is? So I have a legal right to prosper from this field if this field prospers. If I don't, it's my fault. And everybody said, well, I think he makes too much. I don't think I make enough. Amen. Why? The field. I wanted to make more. I'm not in this for the money, but it quit a long time ago. But there's a principle. You understand? If you're prospering, that's my goal, to make you as rich as I possibly can financially and healthy and all that. And that way, I get the benefits of it. Just a portion, a very small portion of what you give. Because he gave me this field. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And other scriptures. My field as a steward over it. It's his field, his flock, his sheep. You understand what I'm saying? But it's my field to work. My field to work. And so I try my best to work it every way I possibly can. Use as much faith as I possibly can. Every area I possibly can all the time. Amen? And he said, you're a hard man, and you gather where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Wait a minute now. I went and hid your talent. No, son, it was your talent. Notice he never took possession of it. That was his problem. His ministry becomes your ministry. His business becomes your business. You're responsible for it. See, this guy said, your talent. He never took ownership. And by not taking ownership, he is afraid to use it. He had your talent in the ground, and look, there you have what is yours. Try to give back to the Lord. Here's your talent back, Lord. I didn't even hurt it. Still shining brand new as the day you gave it to me. I've been sitting on it like a hen sits on a nest. And just, this man could have been a great leader. The other one, he said, I'll make you ruler over much. This man could have been a great leader in the kingdom, but he was lazy. And he didn't get anything. And the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Let's see what Matthew 25:26 says in this Bible. I think it's the Living Bible. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Now this must be another translation. I was reading sloppy, good for nothing, lazy. But anyway, it's close enough. Wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money in the bank and drew a little interest on it. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And cast that unprofitable servant in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes, will he find glory? And all the holy angels with him, and he will sit on his throne in his glory. Take it away from him and give it to somebody that will use it. Now that's the Lord's attitude about his kingdom. Look back over with me in Luke. That's pretty tough scripture, isn't it? He was lazy and wicked and didn't use it. Say, that's not me. We'll get right now. Now you know what's not you. You're not lazy and wicked, and you will use your talent for God, and you do. Amen? Now, over in the book of Luke, pretty much the same thing, back over in chapter 16, verse 9. And I say to you, make friends for yourself with unrighteous mammon. And when you fail, they will receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least will be faithful in much. And who is unjust in what is least will be unjust in much. I always say this, no matter where you go, there you are. Whatever you are will follow you. If you don't have any character, I don't care, or if you're not truthful, or if you are a cheater, or if you're an under table worker and all that, gray area, you'll do it in every area of life. You'll do it to people you work for, work with, and you'll do it to God. Hello. If you're an honest, truthful, straight up guy with integrity, then you'll be that way with God, and He can bless you. And you don't know what kind of person you are in your heart until you have a chance in business to prove it or in dealings with people. He said, you make friends with unrighteous money. In other words, use your money for the kingdom. Therefore, if you've not been faithful and unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your true riches? Notice what he's saying here. Well, let's back up to verse 9. Let me explain that one to you before I go on. And I say to you, make friends for yourself with money. Make friends with money. Wow. Make friends with money. Do you know that you could have a spirit on you and a spirit with money, that money will be your friend and you will attract money? It'll be a favor on you. Money is my servant. I don't have the love of money, and I'm not after money. But money is my servant. I should be friends with money to where it will be attracted to me, because I want money for the kingdom. I want it for the kingdom. That's what I want it for. Said, make friends. Use money properly for the kingdom. And he said, when you fail, that word fail, I got this from Rick Renner in the Greek. I never did understand that scripture good till one day I was reading something by Rick Renner and he explained that. It says, when you fail or when you die. He said that in the Greek meant die. And when you die, if you'll use your money in the kingdom, then by using your money properly in the kingdom, for the kingdom, and a heart for the kingdom with your money, then money will be attracted to you. And money will come to you. And when you die, they will receive you. Who's they? All the people you won to the Lord with your money. And when you die and you go to heaven, they will receive you. They'll be there to receive you into everlasting kingdom. All the people we here at Glory Tabernacle used our money to win to the Lord, and I'm telling you, there's thousands of them. All over the world, we have got money invested in every field, from India to Africa to South America to the Philippines to Russia to Israel, and all over the place, we have made friends with unrighteous mammon, and we have used it to preach the gospel and win souls, and there's all kind of souls that be in heaven because we used our money to win those souls, and when we get there, they will receive us. And when you die, we've used our money. We've used our talent. We've used it. And you better believe that's why. Anytime you come in the office, I'll be in there on Monday and I'll say, how much money we got? It's never very much. Somehow or another, it keeps going away. I keep using it. I use it. I use that unrighteous mammon. I make friends with it. You go out, my friend, win some souls. Get out of here, go win some souls. That's why I can't pass up somebody that's winning souls, that has a need. That's just like that little guy in the Philippines we bought that car for here one Friday night. I was talking to Arnold the other day. He still got that car. But he's bought him another. He's got a truck now, and God has promoted him. Arnold said he's like the mayor of that city now. And he said, you'll never know till we get to heaven what a blessing that was for him. He said, you will never know. I don't have to know. How many souls has been won through Glory Tabernacle buying that one car? Cost $30,000 that night, and I think I might have had $2,000 or $3,000 left in the bank, and when I bought that farm. We don't have money here in reserve. I never have had. If I get it, it don't stay in reserve long. There's always somebody got a greater need than I have. That's why anything I own, it works for the kingdom. If I got those vans out there and Brandy needs them for the school, take them. They're for the kingdom. I don't have to have a deacon's meeting and a vote to see if somebody can use it. It's kingdom stuff. It's kingdom tools. I call it a talent, whatever it is, I use it. I'll use it till we wear it out. I'll use money till we wear it out. You can set on yours if you want to. You can keep it in reserve and hold on to it. Squeeze them little hands as long as you want to. So I'm afraid I'll be broke. Come on over here where I'm at and you won't be afraid. I'll teach you how to be broke. And teach you how to be content. It's not as big a deal as you think. Money ain't that much of a comfort. I mean, I've had it and not had it. I'd rather have it, I'll tell you that. I'll take as much. I wish I had a pile of it. I wish I had the truck bed full. I do. I wish I had it stacked up so high. Money. Yeah. I'd say, glory be to God. Somebody going to be happy next week. Amen. We bought help by. We didn't buy it. Doc Barclay, that plane. That thing's flying, and Glory Tabernacle's got money and winning souls everywhere he goes and encouraging the kingdom and building it up. We've made friends with an airplane. Therefore, you have not been faithful with money. How will he commit to you the true riches that he has? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, how will he give you what is your own? Most people will live and die and never receive their own. What's been established for them in heaven, their own. Why? Because you have to buy it. How do you buy it? You take what somebody else's and you're faithful with it. And you're faithful with it, and you commit yourself to another man, and you serve another man, and you give to another man, and you do that until he gives you your own. Amen. Well, stand up. I've got my own. Got my own field, however how big it is. Thank God it's what it is. That's what he's given me. I'll work it. I'll work it and I'll plow it and I'll do everything I possibly can with it to make it work. It's 10 people or 100, but I'll make it work. Amen. I'm going to be as faithful as I can be. I'm going to show up for every service here. We have prayer every Tuesday night. I've been here every time. Most pastors, they have prayer. They pray, you turn it over to somebody else. I show up. Been here for 30 years. And I pray there won't be anything going on here that I'm not a part of. I'm going to be faithful, as faithful as I can be. Maybe he'll give me something else to do. Hallelujah. When I get through, maybe he'll give me 10 cities to root. Maybe he'll give me one. He'll give me something. I'll stand in line there and I'll say, hey, Jesus, over here I am, you know. Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege to be a steward over your house, to be a steward of your kingdom, to be a steward over what you've given us. Lord, I know sometimes, whether it's teaching the little kids, like Miss Shirlene back there sometimes, Lord, one little kid back there, but she's faithful. It's like the girls back there with the kids. They're just faithful and just keep moving, walking along day in and day out. We just keep doing it. We just keep doing it until you come to settle up. One day you're going to come settle up with us. We come to choir and practice, and we just practice and we sing and crowd here, no crowd here, same crowd, same faces, same look. We just keep pushing on through. Keep just walking along. One day you'll come settle up. Lord, we want to be found faithful. That's all you want. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Forgive us for every time we've grumbled. Thank you, Lord, for helping us be more zealous toward the things you've given us to do. Lord, I wonder sometimes what talent do I have, if I have any. I wonder that so many times. Sometimes we like a little kid and we feel like a stepchild, Lord. Some people get five and more and we over here got a used pair of shoes. But Lord, we want to thank you for what you've given us. One day you'll settle up. And I know you're a just God. And you're true to your word. And payday's coming. And Lord, but today we work. We work. For it's day, the night's coming, Lord. No man can work. Thank you for every time somebody goes to the jail, goes to the nursing home, watches the nursery, watches and helps the kids, cleans the house, sings the songs and plays the instruments. Those who stand in the congregation and give faithfully. They're faithful every week to tithe and give offerings and work hard and bring their money and lay it in here and trust me to use it for the kingdom. Thank God for these faithful people, Lord. Thank God for faithful people of Glory Tabernacle. They're givers, they pray, they support, they help, they stand with us. And Lord, every day, day in and day out, week in and week out, we just keep walking along. And sometimes I know people think they don't count for nothing, they're not really important, but Lord, you're faithful over every drink of water that's given to somebody. And you will reward them. And one day they'll rule. And they'll say, I'm glad I was faithful. Lord, thank you for giving them strength. Thank you for giving them rest. Thank you for giving them peace to keep going. Let everybody know that you'll finish. And you're a good master over your stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness of these people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. You glad you came to church? Hallelujah. All right, you're dismissed.